Take your Bibles now and turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'll go ahead and turn this on. Okay, it's already on. Good. Ephesians 6. And if you're taking notes tonight, I hope that you will use the outlines that are found in the bulletins to take notes. Especially tonight, there's a lot that we've been studying regarding parenting, and Ephesians chapter 5 spoke about marriage with husbands and wives and their roles. Now in chapter 6, we're looking at children, and I believe it's very important for us to have a clear understanding of what Ephesians 6 is speaking about, and not just that we hear children obey your parents and think, yep, that's right, those kids, they need to obey, but all that goes into the importance of this. Is it important for children to obey? Well, yes. Now, is there a way for us to encourage that and not discourage children? Is there a way to discourage children? Absolutely. One of the things that we are going to do as we look at Ephesians 6 is recognize how important God not only sets something for children to do, but that He has provided a way for them to do it and a way for us as parents to think. And I really think, and I think in Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 3, if we as parents and grandparents and even those that don't have children will think correctly about what is the goal, we won't just expect people to keep rules, but we will encourage the right attitude in obedience. And there is something going on in Ephesians chapter 6 that isn't just about make sure you check all the boxes and keep all the rules. But isn't that sometimes what we settle for? As parents, we might just settle for obedience that just is doing what you're told. But there's something bigger that's going on in the book of Ephesians. And that is that people would live out the transformed life that God's made possible in Christ, the new creation, the work that He is doing, and that ultimately in all of that, who would get the glory? That God would be glorified, that He would be exalted. And one of the ways in which we're exalting Him is by living in submission to the Holy Spirit. And chapter 5 pointed that out in chapter 5, verse 18, the matter of being not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then these matter of submission one to another begin, and it deals with fathers or husbands, wives, now with children, and then parents, and then in other aspects of life, our submission is important because if submission takes place correctly, who gets the glory? God does. God does. And so as we look at this tonight in Ephesians chapter 6, let's read verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then we'll look at it together. Ephesians 6, 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, last time we observed the fact that God brings up children at all in Ephesians 6 emphasizes that God has an interest and love for children. All throughout Scripture, we see God has care for children. God cares about husbands. God cares about wives. God cares about children. That is an encouragement in and of itself. God has a purpose for children, we saw last time. God's asking of children obedience and expecting that is because God has plans for children. And children can accomplish God's work. Aren't you thankful for that? That God is not waiting for a child to reach 18 or 25, and then perhaps He can use them. God is interested in our children right now in their youth doing His will. And can children bring glory to God? Yes. You know, if a husband can bring glory to God by the way that he loves his wife, if a wife can bring glory to God by the way that she submits to her husband, children, in their obedience to their parents, can bring glory to God. And that's what we ought to be thinking of, not just, here's the verse to make sure my kids do what I want. No, no. That would be as foolish as saying, oh, here's the husband that says, wife, you need to submit. Would that be foolish? Yes, if the only goal is to get something selfish from it. That's not why we look at Ephesians 6:1 tonight. We're not looking at this as saying, oh, here's the way, Lindsay, we can make our kids do what we want because we have the verse that says they've got to do it. and it's just for self-serving purposes. This isn't about you having a thing to hit someone over the head with, parents or grandparents. This is about your kids knowing that they can glorify God and that they can accomplish what God has for them. And so God's purpose is there. And parenting, I mentioned last time, is inherent with verse number one. Even though we would focus children obey your parents towards the children, it's obvious that parents are giving directions and commands if children are going to obey. That there's something given speaks to the parenting that's going on. And before we get to just seeing the kids part, I think we've got to be honest and say, parents are to be instructors. Parents are to be giving direction that would be obeyed. Now, tonight, I want to dig into verse number 1 of chapter 6 and give some things I hope will be an encouragement to you kids. Now, whatever age you're in, and even those of you who are out of the home, there's things that we're going to look at tonight that ought to remind you of what God sees as valuable and important, even when you are no longer in your parents' home. There is something that is to continue. And I believe that it's scriptural that it continue. And that's that just the matter of obedience. That's the matter of honor. And we're going to look at what that means tonight for children to also honor their father and mother. Notice with me, number one, if you're taking notes, know the value of obedience, the value of obedience. And if children, you'll consider each of the things we're going to look at, and parents as well, I think you'll find this to be an encouraging opportunity as you consider you can be successful. I want my kids to succeed. Do you want your kids to succeed? I don't like setting myself up for failure. I definitely don't want to set up my kids for it's an impossibility. And this is not an impossibility. Let's consider some truths that are in the Word of God regarding obedience. And first of all, that word obey in verse number 1 is the idea of to hearken to a command. Okay, to listen, to hear under as a subordinate. Now, that idea of subordinate or submission is not a new thing in the book of Ephesians. Who have we already seen in chapter 5 was to submit? Well, look back at verse number 21. Verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Who is included in the area of submission? All of us. You don't get out of the area of submission. Well, I don't have to listen to anybody. Well, that's not really the point. The attitude is putting yourself under and having an attitude of submission. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And that care for one another is to be illustrated throughout our relationships. And so it isn't that kids ought to think of, oh, I only have to listen to my parents, but I don't have to listen to anybody else. Well, that attitude is not a submissive spirit, is it? Ultimately, it's not a submissive spirit towards who? Towards the Lord. The attitude of submission is an attitude that is connected with this matter of obeying. And it is to listen to someone who has authority and directs you. Now, the word honor in verse 2, I want to bring up as we consider what the children are to do. Verse number 2 says, honor thy father and mother. The word honor, a lot of times we say respect, and that would be correct. But the word is to prize something, to fix a valuation on it, to see it as incredibly important, incredibly valuable, to value something. Do you kids have things that you value? In our house, there are Legos. And there are some Legos that are more prized than other Legos, aren't there, kids? Oh, yes. Those are the ones that are the treasured and perhaps sought after from others, right? Now, as you get older, you know, and you're a teenager, you don't value Legos the same, but you might value other things and not want your brothers or sisters to come in your room and touch them, right? You better not touch my, and then, you know, my camera or my phone or my, you know, whatever it is you value. You know what it is to value things. Parents, do you have things you attach value to? Isn't it strange as we grow older what we value? Sometimes those values are around things that are not really that important, right? What this is talking about when it says children are to honor their father and mother, look up here and get this. It is that you, as children, affix a value to your parents. Now, kids, have you ever thought of your parents and considered that they are to be valued? That they are not just ones who are telling you things to do, but that they have a place of importance and value in your life. That's a significant difference from, hey, I just have to listen to them because they tell me what to do. And while we could separate the two words, obey and honor, and look at them and just look for a while at obey and look for a while at honor, what I want to do tonight is recognize that they interconnect significantly. In fact, in the Old Testament, what you find in a significant number of times regarding this matter is the matter of honor. In fact, look back at Deuteronomy. Hold your place here and go back to, start at Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. We oftentimes use the word obey as the thing to focus and fixate on in chapter 6, verse 1. And it is an outworking of this, okay? If you don't honor, you don't obey. All right? If you don't value the voice that you're hearing, you're not going to do what they're asking you to do. And there's a connection. If I don't honor, I don't obey. If I am disobedient, I am dishonoring. All right? You can't disconnect those. If I am disobedient to my parents, I'm not honoring them as I should. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother. Look over at Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 16. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. What's the first word? Say it out loud. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. And of course, the promise that follows, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, that matter of honor is something that we need to understand. And if we're going to talk about obedience, kids, you need to know the value of obedience. That word obey in our text, in Ephesians 6:1, doesn't just mean just do what you're told, but don't care about the attitude that is with it. Can you obey with a bad attitude? And in obey, I mean do what you were told, but not value the person that was telling you what to do. Not respect, not lift up as, you know what, I want to do what they say because I respect them. You know, that's where the goal of parenting is to get to. Now, when a child is 2 years old, will that always be the case? No. Okay? But as they grow, can a child decide, I want to honor and value my parents by my obedience? Can a child get to that? Absolutely. Does that end once a child is 18 years of age, that they need to care about the respect of and the valuing of their parents? And we live in a culture that has really only seen, you know what, just obey your parents until you get out, because once you're 18, you can do whatever you want to do. And the whole goal of life is really to get out from under authority so that I can have my way. Now, this is important. Obedience is valuable and it's important. Honor is important because it is a spiritual matter. It is a very much so spiritual matter, because without respect for an authority, there is no submission of the will to the claims of that authority. And that's important because our culture is lawless. You can't get away from how lawless our culture is. It is our natural inclination, by the way. No one had to get you and say, okay, kids, you know, I haven't taken James, our 2-year-old, and said, okay, James, come here. Today, James, have a seat. I'm going to teach you how to disobey. Did I have to do that? No. He came prepackaged with disobedience. I mean, all of the facial expressions of disobedience, they came from his grandfather, Hawaniak's side. No, I'm kidding. Not my wife. It skipped, right? No, it came from me and Lindsay. We're both sinners. We're both sinners. And a nature that is bent on selfishness is what's in every one of the kids in this room and every one of you. You know that, don't you? No one had to teach you how to disobey or to be lawless, to be rejecting of authority. One of the places that you see the priority of obedience in Scripture is in 1 Samuel 15. Would you look over there? 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. And in 1 Samuel 15, you see how disobedience reflects who you value, who you fix as important. And kids, if you will see that your parents are given to you by God to help your value system be correct in understanding Him, it changes everything. If you see that your parents are to be honored, that they're to be valued, and by valuing your parents, you will learn, and parents, this is why we're expecting it of our kids, so that they will learn how they can value God correctly. So they will learn how they ought to honor God and His authority. Notice with me 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22. 1 Samuel 15 verse 22 is the story of Saul and his disobedience with Amalek. And notice again verse 22. 1 Samuel 15 verse 22 says, "And Samuel, after he sees what has taken place, and look at verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." Well, did he obey the voice of the Lord? No, because he didn't utterly destroy everything, and he brought back the king, which he wasn't supposed to. In verse 21, "But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." Now, who's the king? Who's in charge? Saul. Why are you saying the people did something? Who's in charge here? Well, Saul, you are. Notice verse number 22. "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Which of the two is better? Lots of sacrifices for God or obedience? Which one? Obedience. "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Now, sadly, that's where he still had value when he made the decision he had. I care about what other people think. Did Saul care most about what God had said or what people wanted? Well, in this story, he cared about what people wanted. He, by his own lips, declares that the value, the honor that he placed was not on God's words, but on what everyone else wanted. Now, can I tell you, kids, look up here, you're going to have everybody trying to get your opinion or their opinion into your life. They're going to make you think they are the smartest and best voice to listen to. And they're out there everywhere, people trying to get your voice. Get your attention with their voice. They're trying to tell you, your parents don't know anything. Listen to us. We have so much better ideas. Your parents told you what? Oh, that's so silly. You don't want to do that. There will be people that will tell you that. Kids, you're going to hear people that will tell you, you listen to your parents? That's ridiculous. Who does that? Can I tell you something? When I was a kid, I had people in church, kids, and even adults sometimes, who would say things like, "Your parents make you do that? What?" And you know what that was? That was someone trying to get me to value my parents' voice less. That wasn't good. You know what I learned? And I thankfully had parents who continually showed me I could trust them. They consistently invested in my life. They brought me to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. Their life was so much more consistent than the voices of others who were trying to convince me otherwise. That, okay, wait a minute. Your idea looks like this, and I see what your life looks like. My parents, they are consistent. Wonder which way I'm going to listen to. Now, that's an encouragement to you parents to be consistent. My parents' consistency was a great help to what I was going to listen to. But the value I placed upon whether I was going to listen to my parents or the value of whether I was going to listen to someone else's voice had to do with my choice of seeing which one I'm going to pick. And every one of us picks who we're going to listen to. Saul did. What was the result of his valuing the voice of the people versus valuing or honoring the voice of God? Well, God calls it some pretty strong things there, doesn't he? What are some of the things he calls it? Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Whoa, witchcraft? I wasn't thinking it was that bad to not listen to my parents. Well, the attitude is the problem. The attitude is. Saul, who did you value? Because, and kids, get this, if your parents are pointing you towards things that God wants, what is everyone else trying to point you towards? Things that Satan wants. Now think about that for a minute. This is not a shock. Does the culture of our day promote God's ideas or the demon's ideas? Now, this isn't a hard thing, is it? Have you noticed there are demonic things being promoted in the media and the entertainment of our culture today? Yeah, that's not new. You're like, oh, it's so bad in 2022. No, it was bad in the day of Saul. It's not a new thing. It's just changed its kind and changed its appearance. But Satan has always been trying to get people to value his opinion. In fact, from the very get-go, the Garden of Eden, will you value what God says or will you value what Satan says? Satan has this really good line. Hath God said? God's keeping something from you. That's always the way that the enemy works, is kids getting you to believe that your parents or the authority of the Bible or God are not to be trusted. So is there a great importance in obedience? Absolutely. Absolutely. That value of importance in obedience is because it's at the core of believing God. I mean, for God to say in 1 Samuel 15 that to not obey is like idolatry. Idolatry? How can idolatry be connected with it? Well, you make up what you want, and guess what you have? Your own God. You submit yourself under what God says, now you worship the God of the Bible. You don't have to have a little stone idol that you bow down to, kids and adults, to be involved in idolatry. All you have to do is reject what God says. Not place it as valuable, and put something else as valuable, and you're in idolatry. And this matter of obedience is at the core of believing God. If I value any other voice more than his, I am an idolater. I am in a rebellious attitude towards him. And parents, that's why we have an important role in establishing the value of obedience. Our expectation of obedience is not just so that everything is easy in the home. Okay? Sometimes we look at obedience as just something, well, if we can just have the kids obey, then everything will go smooth today. And that's our goal sometimes, right? Can I just get through the day? The madness. Well, no. It's more than that. Far, far more. You know what it's about? It's about our kids understanding whose voice is most important. That God's voice is of greatest importance. If obedience in the home is not valued, if parents are not honored in the home and their voice honored, a child will significantly struggle putting himself under the God who made him, putting himself in submission to God. If obedience is encouraged and correct honor of parents is encouraged, Do you know that you're helping your child understand how to worship and serve God? You really are. Our culture finds that very foreign. You know that? A rebellious culture finds the idea of the Bible a strange concept. You know why? Because they have rejected the idea that parents and their voice and their authority are important. And if a parent lets the culture say you're unimportant, why would I listen to what my parents have to say? And why would I listen to a God who gives me any kind of directions at all? I should get to do what I want to do. That's the culture we live in. I should get to have what I want, when I want to have it, the way I want to have it. That's the culture we live in. And that isn't a new thing. That was the culture of the church in Ephesus too. The dominant feeling of the day was live for yourself. We've not changed anything. What we have as parents the opportunity, and as children, is the opportunity to see the value and importance of it. And a word about the time frame for obedience and honor. Obviously, once a child marries and a new family is established, there's going to be obedience starting to be structured inside of that home to new children. And when I got married to Lindsay, I wasn't still, Mom and Dad, what do you want me to do next? Okay. On a practical level, I should know what to do next so that I can give that to someone. But honor transcends marriage and transcends a home. Do you know that? It really does. It doesn't mean I'm constantly, okay, Dad, what do you think? Dad, what do you think about everything that I have coming up in life? But I would respect anything my dad would say about life. In fact, I do respect my mom and dad and their opinion. I value it highly. Tomorrow we're going to get to take the kids up to my mom and dad's, and we're going to spend some time with them making apple cider. My parents have an old apple, antique apple cider press. I'm going to try to get them to bring it down here perhaps for a church fellowship next year, and we'll do apple. Maybe somebody can get us some apples locally here, but they've got some apple trees. We're going to make some apple cider tomorrow with them. And I love it when my kids can spend time with my parents and they know that I don't have a problem with my parents. In fact, they know that I honor them, that I love them, and that I respect them. They need to see that. You all who are older Christians, and there are some of you who have parents and family in this church, and when you show honor to each other and you still respect your parents, even in their older age, that is important for youngsters to see. It's valuable for it. Why is it valuable? Why is honor something that needs to continue? And that it continues, I think it's important in Deuteronomy and Exodus that we looked at, in Matthew and in Mark. It repeatedly comes up, honoring of parents. That honoring is a demonstration of something that says, I didn't just have to wait till I got to be 18 and now I can do what I want to do. That wasn't the attitude. When I was in high school, there were those times when I couldn't wait to be on my own, but it wasn't because I'd be out from under my parents. It wasn't, I just can't wait. I just can't wait. I don't have to listen to their rules anymore. Friend, that's an attitude that will really affect how you see God. It really will. And there's an attitude sometimes in us that says, I don't want to respect them because I want to do what I want to do. And guess what that is? That's an attitude that's a heart problem towards God, too. It really is. And what I'm seeking to encourage in my children, and I hope you'll encourage in yours, is that in valuing your parents, kids, you're really valuing something more. You're valuing the God who has given you those parents. And those parents are seeking to encourage you to honor and value God correctly. That really changes the dynamic of why we say children obey your parents. Because it's not just about what I get out of it. Isn't that important for us? If my kids can know that in obeying my parents, I'm ultimately doing something as to the Lord, that's important. We'll come to that as we continue on here. Number two, and I'm taking a lot longer than I thought I would. Number two, know the partnership of obedience. Not just the importance or value of obedience, but number two, know the partnership of obedience. In Ephesians chapter 6, notice the partnership that takes place here. Children, obey your dad. not your mom. Is that what it says? No. Children obey your mom, but not your dad. Is that what it says? Children obey parents, both. Children obey your parents. There's a partnership there. Mother and father are equal in the necessity for your listening to and obeying. Again, in Deuteronomy and Exodus, both, that passage is saying, honor thy father and thy mother. Both are to be honored. Both are to be listened to. In Solomon's Proverbs, you see the theme repeating itself over and again, a call to listen to mom and listen to dad and the words of mom and the words of dad. They're not competing words. They're both words. They're both interested in and they're both involved in the teaching and training of children. God's plan is for a joint operation called parenting. And kids, you need to know that you need to obey both. Now, I think you've kind of caught that I like military history, some of the illustrations I give at times. I love reading military history. And one of the facets of World War II that I found interesting was there were different conflicts where a military general or a leader from one country who was working with an ally from another country, or even sometimes within the armed forces, perhaps the Army and the Navy or the Army Air Corps, there would be these moments where somebody would want to do something to exalt themselves a little bit more, even though they're on the same side. You know that that can happen in the home. And when it happened in military exercises, it was often harmful because the goal was really about that leader just having some more prestige or having an opportunity to do what he wanted to do. And the cooperation was not there. Is it difficult to cooperate as a general rule, folks? Yes. Have you found it difficult to cooperate in the workplace, for example? Why? Because everybody wants to do what they want to do. You know that in parenting, you are one. You are to be one. One voice. One agenda. One goal. But can't that sometimes be difficult? Okay, no parent in here that's honest at all is going to say, oh no, it's always easy. We never have trouble with that at all. Of course it's hard. It's difficult because you think one way and your spouse will think another way. But you know that the Word of God says that children are to obey parents and it's a connected, it's a partnership. And I think that's very important for us to see. And even as grandparents, and there's a number of grandparents in here, you need to be supporters of that. Don't miss out, parents, the fact that you can lead together. That means you need to talk together. It means you need to plan together. You need to reflect on needs in your children together. Support the voice of the other parent. You hear what I just said? Support the voice of the other parent. Don't argue for the child in front of the child. Okay, let me give an example. If mom says, no, you can't play outside right now, Freddie. Whoever Freddie is, all right? You can't play outside right now, Freddie. Don't come home and say, oh, mom said you can't go outside. Oh, come on, let's just go anyways. Don't do that. You're not helping parent together. If children are to obey their parents, encourage parenting as a group, as a unit. Don't argue against it. Don't say, I don't have a problem with it. Well, if mom said no, guess what? You need to be one voice in that. Grandparents, see a smile on my face, support the authority of those children's parents. You know, to do otherwise, and I say this with a smile, and I don't mean to be critical. So I know you're like, I want to spoil my kids, my grandkids. I want to spoil them. Can I tell you that sometimes that's really selfish? Now, I know there's a place for being kind and generous. But I will tell you, you want to help those parents, support them. Even if you don't like what they said, you, in the ears of those children, encourage what they're doing with their parenting. That'll be a big encouragement to them. And it'll be an encouragement to those kids, too. Because kids are sneaky. I know, isn't that terrible? I'm looking at kids and saying you're sneaky. Who would have said that, right? Will kids ever work to get parents against each other? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. How can I do this? I mean, their minds are very, very intelligent. And they will work to pit parents against each other, right? Let me think. If I ask this at the right time and they don't know that I've already heard no from mom, maybe I'll get what I want. Hey, you know what, parents? You've got to work at the matter of being one voice, because what you're aiming to do is result in honor and obedience. If kids know how to be sneaky with you, are they going to have the same kind of attitude towards God? Think about it. If their attitude is, how can I get around and get what I want? You know what we're to do as parents? We're to help them show honor to us both. And in so doing, we're helping them learn how to honor the Lord correctly. And that really is a foundational thing. You may be wondering, how do I make this work? There may be stuff that we talk about in this that you say, I'd like to have some more examples. Or, Pastor, what about this situation? Or what about this? That's why we're here. Okay, I mean this. And that's why, by the way, there are families and couples who have raised children that you ought to interact with and ask questions like that. I will tell you, it was a great help to Lindsay and I when we had specific challenges to go to families that we saw doing well with their kids and finished at certain points and say, how did you handle when your kids did? And give an example of something to them and let them give some instructions, some examples. Do you know that you grow by the things you ask questions, parents? If you want to be parenting in the way God wants, you need to see it as a partnership. And that's why children as well, I'll just encourage you, when you show respect and honor to both parents, not just the one that you like more than the other, parenting ought not be favorites, okay? And obedience ought not be favorites. It ought not be that you say, well, you know what? I'll listen to Dad because Dad gives me, you know, treats. But Mom, poof. No, there ought to be the same attitude with both. There ought to be the same kind of attitude as unto the Lord. And we'll look at that in the future. But this matter of obedience needs to be with both. Now, let me just say a word about situations of divorce or where parents aren't together. That can be difficult, can't it? It can absolutely be a challenge, especially if you're not the constant voice or you're a part-time voice in that child's ear. Let me just give you a word of encouragement about this. You do well to bolster the authority in front of your child of the other parent as much as you can. Now, there may be times where you just can't, okay? But if it's a matter of something you can bolster and say, you need to do what your parent said in this, then do so. If your constant take is put down, put down, put down so you can be made to look better, that will not help you and will not help that child. And I know that those kinds of situations can be very challenging, but there is a way to honor the Lord in the situation that you're in and in asking the Lord constantly, how do I help this child understand honor and obedience in a way that helps them see God correctly? Sin makes a mess of the world, doesn't it? Even in families that aren't separated. Sin is the messy thing in our family all the time. You're like, pastor's family has problems? Everyone's family has problems. Right? Okay, you all are acting like, I don't know. Can I tell you all something? There are sinners in the Finney household, and I'm one of them. You know where some of the problems can come in the Finney household? From right here. I'm not a perfect dad. I'm sad to share that, folks. Okay, but it's truth, and my kids know it, don't they? You ought to know, Dad, Mom, you don't have to look like you're perfect. You need to aim to please the Lord, and you need to admit when you make mistakes. Your kids know it, okay? They know when you've made mistakes. But the thing that will lift the weight in your family is when you're working together to help your children understand that obeying and honoring is not just about us all being happy with each other. It's ultimately about helping our kids see and honor God correctly. And if you keep the perspective upward instead of just how do I make this get along, how do I make less trouble, and you see that there's something eternally important that's being taught, it's a joy to see my kids learning to honor the Lord in their decisions. It's a joy to see young people in our church doing that. You ought to be thrilled, by the way, when you see that. You ought to rejoice with them in that. When you see a child doing something that honors the Lord, encourage that. Praise God for that with them. I thank the Lord for the work He's doing in our young people here at New Life Baptist Church. It is a thrill to watch young people serving at young ages and asking, how can I serve? What can I do? You know what that is? That's honoring their parents, but beyond that, it's honoring God. Are you thankful for that, church? Yeah. And can kids serve God? Well, yes. They absolutely can. And parents, we're to be seeing it as a partnership. And then number three, and I'm going to jump into this to start tonight, but we're going to finish it next week some more. Know the enabling of obedience, the enabling. You know, when the Bible says children obey your parents, you ever ask yourself, kids, how do I do that? Now, you know the mechanics of it. Well, do what you're told. But is it more than that? How is a husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church? How is a wife supposed to submit herself to her husband? You know that's supernatural. Now, can children who are unsaved obey? Yes. Can they obey in the way that is honoring to God, that pleases Him perfectly? You hear me say that? The way that perfectly pleases God. My righteousness, my goodness, kids, never impresses God. The righteousness of Christ pleases God. How do I please God in obedience? Here, listen to this, kids. The way, the how for you to obey is to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit control. Look back at Ephesians 5, verse 18 again. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This matter of obedience, kids, let me tell you, God has provided a help, an enablement for you to do it in the way that would please Him perfectly. You ever felt like, I just don't have the ability to do something, but I'm being asked to do it? Have you ever had a job where someone asked you to do something, and you're like, I just don't know how to do this? Or homework, right? You ever had homework, and you feel like, I just don't know how to do this? I don't know how. Can I tell you that you have been provided the Holy Spirit of God to enable you to do this matter of obedience in the perfect way that honors God? Now, that encourages me as a parent. Because what I'm asking of my children as I'm training them in obedience is not just making sure you check the list and do it so that everyone else is pleased. That would be unsatisfactory. If I just did what I needed to do just to make sure everyone was happy with what I did. I think, sadly, that's what we oftentimes settle for. Even as Christians that aren't children, in our lives, we can settle for just doing what we think is necessary so we can get by. You know what it is to be controlled by the Spirit? It is to do things in the way that will please God assuredly. You can know your obedience pleases God. I think that's an exciting prospect for my kids to know. I think it's an exciting prospect for us as a church to know that what we're doing pleases God perfectly. Because it's done by the power of the Holy Spirit through us. It's not done because I mustered up enough, I'm going to obey my parents better. I think that's a foolish idea to teach our kids. You know what our kids ought to know? What it is to depend upon God. How do you access the power of the Holy Spirit, adults? Well, admitting, first of all, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, that you need to be controlled by Him. Not like something else can control you, like alcohol can control a person. Does the Holy Spirit control you? Are you yielded to what He wants? Now, kids, this week you're going to have opportunities right off the bat this week to decide, am I doing what my parents want just to make them happy, Or am I considering the Spirit of God, the help that God has provided so that I can do what pleases God? What I'm hungry and thirsty for is for my kids to not just want to please Dad, but for my kids to want to please Dad so they can please God. Because in pleasing Dad, in honoring Dad, or in honoring Mom, they are pleasing God. And they need to be filled with such a desire to do that, that they don't just see Dad or Mom. And by the way, do Mom and Dad have imperfections, flaws, faults? Can I be wrong, kids? Sure. Can they still obey God even when I'm not perfect? Absolutely. Absolutely. Can they obey their mom even when she's not perfect? Absolutely. And parenting is not about you being perfect. Parenting is about teaching your children how to honor and obey so that they correctly see God. And so the enabling of this, we'll talk about some more next time. I think a guaranteed way to discourage children is to just tell them, you need to obey, you need to obey, you need to obey, but never teach them or train them how. You know what the training, I think, is our teaching and our instructing and our reminding that God has provided enabling for them in the person of the Holy Spirit. And when they say yes to the Holy Spirit at the age, at whatever point they trust Christ for salvation, they listen to the Holy Spirit who told them they were a sinner and convinced them they needed help. Guess what? They can keep on listening to Him, can't they? They can keep being directed by the Spirit of God. They can keep knowing when they're, you know what? I shouldn't do this. And their heart is tender too and not quenching the Spirit of God. That's exciting. And let's encourage that, parents. Let's pray for that, too. You think we ought to pray for our kids to be listening to the Spirit of God and yielding to Him so that they can obey in a way that honors God? I think we ought to pray that way as parents. We ought to pray that way as a church. You know what would be great for you to pray for the young people of our church, adults? God, help our young people to know what it is to be Spirit-directed at young ages. Help our kids to know at very young ages what it is to hunger after God, to desire God and what He wants more than anything. That they would be Spirit-controlled individuals seeing supernatural work going on in their lives. Is obeying parents something that you see as a supernatural thing? Or do you just see it as, they just can do that? You know, if we have low expectations for the kind of obedience we want, I think we shoot ourselves in the foot. We see that the kind of obedience that God wants is a supernatural thing. Let's ask God for the help with that. In fact, kids, if you're a kid still in the home and obedience is something you're still involved with your parents, you ought to ask tonight, God, help me to be obedient to You. Help me to have a submission to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and that He would direct me when I need to show the kind of respect to my parents I need to honor. I need to value them. Help me to see that. Help me to know how to do that and enable me to do that. It's like asking your dad to give you the tools. Some of my kids love it when I put the tools in their hands with power. Yes, they love the power tools. The other day, one of my kids was supposed to use a tool to go do something, and the battery was dead. Well, guess what he couldn't do? He couldn't use the tool because the battery was dead. Right? It's not because he didn't want to. It's just the battery wasn't going to work, so the tool was dead. You know, the Holy Spirit of God is never on empty. The Holy Spirit of God is never lacking for you kids or adults to do what God wants you to do. He's always sufficient. So, recognize you have that available and depend upon His enabling. Know the enabling of obedience, parents. Perhaps tonight there's a need to just say, God, help me to commit to this matter of the partnership of parenting and obedience. And maybe tonight you just be encouraged to know the importance, the value that God places upon obedience. That we would see correctly how much this matter of honor helps those that are under us see God correctly. Would you bow with me for prayer tonight? Well, I just want to ask you a few questions before we close. First of all, how many of you would say, you know what God pointed out tonight? The value of obedience is something I need to put a greater priority on, maybe as a child. I see that God wants me to value my parents correctly, and I want to give that the value that God wants. Maybe as a parent, you saw that God wants you to see the valuing of authority, the valuing of respect and honor as a way to help the children see God correctly. And God pointed out some part of that tonight that was a help to you. And you'd say, Pastor, God worked in my heart about that, and I'm thankful for what I learned tonight. If that's you, just raise your hand up. God pointed out some part of the respect or honor that I needed to have, and I'm grateful for that. Good. All right. Maybe tonight, parents, God pointed out the need for that partnership to continue to be developed. And you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me that we would continue to grow in that partnership in our parenting? If that's you, just raise your hand. I'll pray for you in just a moment. Yeah. Okay, good. How about this? How about the Holy Spirit dependence? You know, kids and adults, all of us, are enabling to do any of the things that God has called us to. Submitting ourselves one to another isn't found in just work at it harder, try harder. It's found in depending upon the Holy Spirit of God. And you'd say, Pastor Finney, I desire to depend on the Spirit. I want to be controlled by the Spirit this week. And I'm going to communicate with God about that right now. I want to ask God to help me be controlled by Him, not by my flesh. If that's you, just raise your hand. God pointed that out tonight as the need. Yeah, great. Why don't you tell the Lord about that? We'll have a time of prayer.